It's time to take a look at Sunday's game against the Dolphins through the eyes of the network analyst covering this game for CBS will be Randy Cross, and he joins us now. Hey, Randy, how you doing?
Doing well, Vic. Thanks, man.
Thank you for taking the time. So, Randy, I know you've had a chance to look at these two teams. I want to start with the Dolphins' storyline, 0-2, and that whole desperation thing. As a player, you were part of some very, very good football teams that rarely found themselves in these situations, but I'd like you to answer this from a player perspective. What is the mindset coming into a game in that sort of hole and having everyone in your town pretty much tell you you're awful and blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, the Dolphins specifically have been hearing this for a while. I just think going in, their fans and their media expected it to be because of Chad Henne and because they couldn't have much offense and go down the list. And what they weren't counting on was the inconsistency and the turnovers and things like that. And this will really, really test two things: the leadership on your football team, its ability to focus, but also, number two, you know, your entire organization as to, you know, how they approach things and how stable it is, because these kind of starts can absolutely rip a team up, like you know, Vic. I mean, it can. You've seen teams just die off something like this, and then other times they start 0-2 and they act like, you know, it's no big deal, and we'll just worry about the next game.
Yeah, and you're right. It is all about the mindset. And I wonder, Tony Sperano, this is going to be as big a test as he has faced as a head coach, coming off a difficult offseason where there was obviously an effort made, or at least we got the drift clearly that there was an effort made to replace him, and then he ends up with a contract extension. But he had to go through that uncertainty and then to find himself in this situation. Do you wonder about the whole control thing between him as a coach and the coaching staff and the players?
Well, it certainly brings it all back up again, just dredges everything up since that week or so around the whole Harbaugh thing with Stephen Ross going out there, and he's got a coach, and then suddenly he's back to being my guy and everything else. I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, they probably weren't quite as in love come the start of this season. But, you know, some of their problems are coach-related, some of their problems are player-related, and some of their problems, I think, are related to the fact that, you know, I'm not sure when it comes to competing toe-to-toe with New England, competing toe-to-toe with the Jets and their styles, that right now the Dolphins are ready to do it.
So as you look at their team, what is the number one area that you think they have to get corrected to stem the tide here and have success that, of course, Browns fans don't want to see, but yeah, to have a chance Sunday at Cleveland Browns Stadium?
Well, the two things. One is kind of an obvious, and that would be the turnover side. You start turning the ball over and kicking field goals instead of touchdowns and all that, and that will absolutely bury you. But, you know, if they could do any one thing, I think pass defense right now would be something that they would just tighten up. If they had their druthers, they'd be getting more pressure. They'd be getting tighter coverage. They'd be more coordinated on that back end. And, you know, I think an offense like the Cleveland Browns and a quarterback specifically that can make the decisions that Colt can, being in this offense, can give this defense a pretty bad time, because it'll really be able to expose, you know, any kind of mistakes, any kind of a, you know, lack of decisiveness by on the defense with the kind of stuff that he does best.
And when you study film of the Dolphins, Randy, what are you seeing of Chad Henne? What are you seeing of a guy who has been pretty maligned there, has a new offensive coordinator in Brian Daboll, so doing some different things with him this year than had been done previously? What's that look like?
Well, you know, he was better in that first game than most everybody except for somebody in the Henne family probably thought. He did a heck of a job in that opener. I think last week it was not quite as good, but, you know, he's got the potential to put one of those 300-400-yard games on you and throw for, you know, 3-4 touchdowns, especially with guys like Brandon Marshall, and, you know, just go down the list of the weapons he has at receiver. Now, his sort of a simpatico or chemistry isn't there 100% yet, with Brandon Marshall, and you can tell. But, you know, they say it's working better and better every single week. So what your idea would be was that kind of coordination, that clicking doesn't start until sometime next Monday or so.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. And as you look at, you know, as you look at this offensive line, his protection, Randy, you got Jake Long there. Mm-hmm. But after that, it looks like there were a lot of holes that it seemed the Patriots and Texans defenses were able to take advantage of. Did that say more about the line that's in front of Henny, or did it say as much or more about the defenses that he faced?
Well, it was partially the defense and partially the line. I mean, it's something that will sound really familiar to Cleveland Brown fans, but, you know, from the center left, they've been pretty solid. From the centers right over, it's been a little bit less than solid. There have been some questions on the right side. Occasionally there's been some questions, you know, at guard. They've got a rookie center, Pouncey, who's doing a really good job for a young guy to go along with Jake Long. So, you know, they're still a little unsettled on that right guard, right tackle position. So, you know, I look at this on both sides as being probably a good opportunity. If you're a defensive lineman playing the defensive left, you may have a chance to do some business, unless on both sides, you know, these guys kind of get their acts together in 1 week.
Former NFL offensive lineman Randy Crossey is the analyst for CBS that will be handling Sunday's game between the Browns and the Dolphins. As you study the defenses that they've faced to date, and in the entire their division, the Dolphins division, the AFC East, it's all about 3-4 schemes, although I guess New England has somewhat of a multiple thing incorporating more 4-3 elements, I guess, to it. But when you've studied it on film, what have you seen that has provided the most problem for the Dolphins? And, you know, schematically, are we looking at a situation where the 4-3 scheme of Dick Geron would be in position to do any more or less than the other schemes they've seen so far?
Well, you're not going to see it on a Jake Long, but I think even with a Pouncey at center, a young guy, the more uncertainty you can create, the better. The more decisions you can make people make, the better. And I think that's what, you know, when you look at what Houston did and Wade Phillips and his new 3-4 and what Bill Belichick and their defense wants to do, which is give you, you know, all sorts of different looks, pressures from different spots. I think what really has given them the biggest problem isn't necessarily the hard big boy D-line rush. It has been the blitzes and the pickup after that. It's the coordination with that and games and whatnot. And you'd expect that with a line that maybe isn't quite as meshed and quite as fine-tuned as they could be.
Right. And I know you've broken down the Browns as well. When you look at tape of that team, Randy, what is your sense of how this team, let's start on the offensive side of the ball, and how this team has functioned through two games?
Maybe Vic, I'm like Browns fans. I can't believe they weren't 2-0 for starters. I you know, that game was there right there for them against Cincinnati. I look at this football team. I love the way, you know, Colt is making his decisions. I'm nuts about the way Hillis, when he really does unleash it, the way he runs, like Ben Watson, like Evan Moore. I kind of look forward. I may be a little bit like you, and I may be like the rest of the Browns fans. I'm kind of looking forward to the wide receivers taking the next step and really doing something that worries defenses. Because I think with those tight ends, with Hillis, and then with a guy like Josh Cribbs, who can come at you from so many different angles, with doing so many different things and with so many different skills, you know, you've got potential to give people some pretty good big time nightmares.
I thought McCoy turned a corner in a sense in his play against the Colts. That even distribution of passes, 8 different receivers catching the ball, the poise that he showed throughout a very noisy place. That was Lucas Oil Stadium, as you know, very, very noisy place. Mm-hmm. He takes that blindside hit from from Dwight Freeney where he held the ball too long, clearly, and got rocked, but then shook it off immediately. I really thought that was one of those moments you can look back on and say this was a big step for Colt McCoy.
I agree. I really do, Vic. I mean, when he makes his decisions, he's making his decisions nice and quick and crisply, and then he sees something he's not quite sure about, and like you just said, that play when Freeney hit him, you could see the 1-2, and just about when he might have said 3, or this is too long, bang, there comes Dwight. He whacks him. I guess if you're training a puppy, that's it's good negative reinforcement, because next time he feels that possible 3 coming up, he's going to know I better get rid of it.
Right. No, that's well put. And you touched upon this with the receivers. Getting Joshua Cribbs involved clearly is something that's happening in this offense on those bubble screens. Nice looking plays that seem so suited to him. But I think the other interesting thing is the Colts were so determined to take away Evan Moore and Ben Watson that you had Colt looking to the outside, as he should have been, and he found some success. He certainly got the ball into the hands of Mohamed Massaqua on a great throw that sets up a score. As you see this evolve, and again, a lot of people have been anxious, Browns fans, wanting to see maybe more dynamic receiver play, but I just think this is pretty much what it is. It's conducive to steadily spreading the field and doing just what this West Coast offense, something you played in San Francisco, you know so well. This is how it looks, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt, Vic. I mean, and one thing you need is you need receivers, especially your ex or anybody that's even near the line, has got to have a physical side of them. They've got to be able to battle. And if they have everybody healthy on the other side here from Miami, they've got some good cover corners who don't mind getting in your grill and muscling up with you a little bit and contending with you as far as whether or not you're going to get that inside position where you can, present that body and give Colt something to throw to nice and quick. So you better have a double move. You better have an arm rip. You better have an arm over. You right. better have a bunch of different things out of wide receivers. And it's a learning process. And I think that's looking at tape, that's the one thing that kind of hits me about the receivers is, as a group, they're still learning.
Right. We saw the tight ends really stand out through the preseason, especially Evan mm-hmm. Moore made some great plays, as did Ben Watson. When a team is determined to sort of take them away or get hands on them coming off the line and do what the Colts did to sort of minimize their impact, is that something that the Browns should worry about as an every game thing? I mean, certainly the Dolphins are going to notice that, but are they paying enough of a price with the ball going elsewhere that maybe you back down from that strategy?
Well, I'd count on it. If I was coming in there and defending this offense, one of the first things is I want to be sure, especially when I'm in any kind of a nickel look, if you're presenting me, whether what would look to be a 12 package, and suddenly, you've got Watson tight, suddenly you've got receivers and you've got people all spread all over. I want to have the right kind of matchups. That to me is one thing that this offense is going to have to get used to. And the fact that if you're taking away that tight end, you got to be able to go on the other side above him, either away from him or above him, because if you're going to jam him up early, there's something open behind him.
Yeah, so that one, you're talking about that 12 look, that one tight end, that one back two tight end look, mm-hmm. you're going to have to focus as an opponent on doing just what you said to take it away. And then, of course, the Browns have to counter it. Just a thought or two on their defense, the Browns' defense, what you've seen, as you said, that first game, very galling to have that mistake that resulted in the quick snap throw, touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as what you saw last week to rebound against Kerry Collins, the work of this young defensive front, especially Phil Taylor, Jabal Sheard, Ataba Rubin, how impressed are you with that?
Yeah, I thought there was a very perceptive article today in the local paper about Rubin being kind of the cement with the young guys, and he has played really well. And you knew in the draft, Phil Taylor is such a monster. If he got motivated correctly, and if Dwayne Board, if Pee Wee could light the fire, he was going to be a huge impact. And Jabal Sheard really, it was striking, the difference in him coming from the defensive right and from the defensive left when he kind of got back at home. And I think that was a great move and something that's going to pay dividends in the future when you get a guy like that feels that comfortable. And it's also going to light up a little bit for your linebackers, because you can't leave some of those guys by themselves, and then it becomes a numbers game in the protection schemes.
How do you like that secondary? Joe Hayden, T.J. Ward, two draft picks from last year, kind of leading the way there.
I love Joe Hayden. I liked him from the beginning. Ward is very good. I know one of the big ISOs I'm going to have when it comes time for Sunday is I want to see, you know, Brandon Marshall on the times he's on Joe Hayden. They may decide we're not going to take him everywhere with him, but when I get a chance to look at Brandon Marshall and Joe Hayden, I think it's going to be a highlight film.
Great stuff, Randy. I knew it would be, and I really appreciate you taking the time, and look forward to seeing you Sunday.
Anytime, Dick.